Very good morning to you and a warm welcome to our service of Holy Communion. You'll see from the screen that we're about to begin a mini-series on the Psalms, and we're looking forward very much to hearing some more today about that. There are a couple of notices to give out very briefly. You'll find all these on the church website. First, there's a bring and share lunch today down at St. Andrew's, and you're very welcome to go down and enjoy that. A regional celebration for new wine, I think it is, and that's tomorrow. And today's the 30th, it's this evening. Yes, thank you very much. Well done. Tomorrow is a light party down at St. Andrew's for all primary age children. Sorry? And that's here. Okay. Let's see if I can get this last one right. Thanksgiving service, yes, on Sunday the 6th of November. And Carol, you've approached me. The lunch today is with Terry English, yes. Thank you for that. Okay, thanks very much. Any other corrections? Thank you, Paul. The psalm we're looking at this morning is Psalm 34, and the theme is praise at all times. But of course, today is also All Saints' Day, when we give thanks to God for our communion with all the saints who've displayed the grace of God to us. And so I want to begin the service by inviting you to stand and saying the grace together. Together we say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. And our first hymn is based on Psalm 34. It says in particular in verse 4, oh, that the world might taste and see the riches of his grace. So let's sing together. Jesus, the name high over all. Please be seated. Christ calls us to share the heavenly banquet of his love with all the saints in earth and heaven. Knowing our unworthiness and sin, let us ask from him both mercy and forgiveness. Let us confess our sins. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have wandered and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things that we ought to have done, and we have done those things that we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But you, O Lord, have mercy upon us sinners. Spare those who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may live a disciplined, righteous, and godly life, to the glory of your name. Amen. May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's say together the collect of All Saints' Day. God of holiness, your glory is proclaimed in every age as we rejoice in the faith of your saints. Inspire us to follow their example with boldness and joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Psalm 34 encourages us to praise God at all times, regardless of our circumstances. And we have two songs now that celebrate the goodness of God for which we praise him. Let's stand to sing first, Light of the World, you step down into darkness.
You.
in praise of the splendor of our King who wraps himself in light. Be seated. And we come now to our reading. Andrew's going to read Psalm 34. If you have a Bible, do look it up.
Psalm 34 may be found on page 561 of the Church Bibles. Of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he left. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glory the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look on him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may be weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good things, Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones, and not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of righteousness will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, may my words and all our thoughts be acceptable in your sight, now and always. Amen. Have you written a will? I have. Maybe some of you have designed the whole funeral service or service of thanksgiving that you want when the time comes. I haven't gone that far, but one thing that it does say in my will is that I would like, when folks are gathered on that occasion, to sing Jesus the name high over all, which we sang at the beginning of the service. Mostly because it seemed to me that that last verse, I just wanted people to say, 'Tis all my business here below, preach him to all and cry in death, behold, behold the Lamb. So that's the one bit of, if you like, Thanksgiving service that I have included in my will. And you were all singing it brilliantly a bit earlier on, so you should be all right. Although I'm not thinking you're going to need it for the next, several years anyway. One thing that's not in my will, but the family know all about, is that whatever happens from now on, I reckon I've had a good innings. And therefore, I want you to have a service of thanksgiving. No black ties, no somber ties. And I've told the family, you can take all my ties to the service, and anyone who turns up, including the undertaker people in a black tie, take it off and you can have one of mine to remember it. Of course, if you turn up late in a black tie, you could get a really naff tie in exchange. And I'll bet it's the first time that the undertaker people have walked down the aisle carrying a coffin wearing a Mr. Man tie. So it should be all right. So that's it. And of course, if you know the Stanley Holloway monologues, I'm quite happy for you to turn up in brown boots. If that doesn't mean anything to you, you can ask me about it later. But it did seem to me that as we had this psalm, David should really have written his will. This was written at a time when David should have been writing his will much more than writing psalms. He had, I suppose at the time, King Saul wasn't a constitutional monarch like our King Charles. He was much more like Vladimir Putin. You know, what he said went. He was in charge. He was autocratic. If he said it, that's what had to happen. And I suppose the modern day equivalent might be living in Iran and finding that the Ayatollah had issued a fatwa saying, this man has to be killed. And that's what Saul had said. If you are supporting David, you will be arrested. If you find him, you are to kill him. And so David had to run off into exile. He certainly had all the authorities in Israel, apart from a few followers who stuck with him, against him. Because, do you see, Saul was basically jealous. Saul had started off as a good king. But then David came along, and David was great. David had killed Goliath. David had led the forces into battle. David had won things. And Saul became jealous. And jealousy is bad news. Jealousy is always bad news. Don't let jealousy spoil our relationships. There we are. Once upon a time, I worked for a head who saw that I might have some ability in an area where he was less good. And instead of using my abilities, there aren't many of them, but just, you know, the odd one. But instead of using the bit of ability that I did have, he actually froze me out of that area of work because I think he saw me as a threat. And I thought that was really disappointing. But I did learn from it, because eventually when I was being interviewed for a headship and they said, what do you bring to the post? I said, I want to appoint people at all levels who will be better than I was when I was at that level. Let's not have jealousy. Let's get really good people in the right places. So David had to flee from Saul. And you know, while he was in exile and running away from everything, he actually wrote not just this psalm, he wrote 8 psalms. If you want to know what they were 7, 59, 56, 34, 57, 142, 54, and 52. And you'll be tested on those numbers later. He wrote 8 psalms while he was fleeing and in exile. And the introduction that was read to us by Andrew, it says quite clearly that this was a psalm, and I would advise you at this point to have your Bibles open at page 561 so that you can see Psalm 34. You will need it shortly. You will need it. But right at the beginning it says, this is a psalm of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech. Now, of course, if you look up and say, oh, well, who was this Abimelech? It's confusing, because that's the only time this word is used in the Bible. And you think, who was he? Well, the problem is that Abimelech wasn't his name. It was his title. The Egyptians might have said Pharaoh, the Philistines would have said Abimelech. So it was a title rather than a name. The guy's name was actually Achish. No, I didn't sneeze. That really was his name, Achish. And you can find out all about him if you read 1 Samuel 21. So there is this guy, a Philistine, and David, running away from Saul, had to go and, you know, Achish, his followers are saying, look, this guy's David, don't let him come anywhere near us. And David pretended to be mad so that he would be accepted. And in the end, Abimelech, Achish, said to him, or to his people, haven't I got enough madmen round here that I have to put up with this foreign madman as well? So you can read all about that in 1 Samuel 21. So David was having a really tough time. But although he was having a tough time, his faith had reached a level where he could say, hallelujah anyhow. Whatever it is, It doesn't matter. Hallelujah anyway. You see, praise is independent of our present circumstances. Question for each one of us, has my faith reached a level where I can praise in a way that is independent of the present circumstances? Well, if we think we've got it hard at times, we need to read some biographies of our persecuted brothers and sisters and see just how hard some of their lives have been and how they managed to praise God anyway. You may think things are tough because the cost of living is going up. Fuel prices are rising. The value of our savings, if you've got any, is dropping. Pensions may be uncertain, but look on the bright side. We have clean water coming out of our taps. We actually have taps, which is more than much of the world has, and no one is probably about to fire a missile into your home or mine. My father-in-law, lovely Christian man, if you asked him how he was, he would very often say, "I am very well over the circumstances. I'm very well over the circumstances." Well, we may not feel it, but you know, we are all doing very well over the circumstances. My guess is that all of us here are probably in the top 10% of the world's richest people. You may not feel rich, but you probably only compare yourselves with your neighbours. Try comparing yourself with the world, and you will find that if you take home a mere £1,500 a month, and you are a single person, you are now in the top 6.1% of the world's richest people. There are 94 people poorer than you, and only 6 richer than you. If you like, you are in that little pale bit at the top of the ring. All those people in the darker part of the ring are poorer than you. Of course, you may be saying, "Oh, but I've just got £1,500 a month and there are 2 of us." Well, if you are a couple and that's your income, take home income for the month, well, you are in the top 13.4%. Even if there are 2 of you living on that, you are still, by the world standards, amazingly well off. You are still in that light-coloured bit at the top of the ring, not the dark-coloured bit, where most of the world is. Yes, when we look at it like that, it takes us back, perhaps, to that children's song, "Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One," and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. We have all had enormous blessings. If you want to see where you actually fit within that ring, all you've got to do is go home and Google, "How rich am I?" If you Google, "How rich am I?" you'll soon find you can put in your take-home pay, and you will be frightened at just how rich you are compared to the world. So, there we are. That's how rich we are. But trials will come. And when trials come, God says, "Trust me." When trials come, trust. The trials might be about finance, but they might be about health, they might be about relationships, they might be about your failures. Now, you probably don't fail as much as me, but you can see that that's when trials do come, we need to trust. As the psalm says, "Let the afflicted hear and rejoice." Well, I think that more or less covers verses 1 and 2. Only 20 verses to go. Relax, relax. We'll move on to verse 4. And verse 4, "I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me. Now, if I'd been writing this psalm, I have got lots of ways of finishing that sentence. He delivered me from all my fighting. I don't want to be caught up in a war. He delivered me from all my foes, all my enemies. I want to get rid of all those people around me who may be bullying me, who may be threatening me, who may be my enemies. He delivered me from all my famine. Yes, we may have enough food to eat for today. We may think, no, I shan't go to bed hungry tonight. But across the world, millions will. So we can imagine that many people would want to pray, He delivered me from all my famine. And of course, He delivered me from all my failures. But you know, David didn't write any of those things. He said, the Lord delivered me from all my fears. And the good news for you, for me, for each one of us, the good news is that faith overcomes fear. Later on, we're going to sing another hymn, Through All the Changing Scenes of Life. Again, a hymn based on Psalm 34. Fear Him, you saints, and you will then have nothing else to fear. Make you His service your delight. So there we are. We shall come to that hymn later on in the service. And I reckon that's good advice. Faith overcomes fear. And in the middle of this psalm, we have a sort of interlude telling us how and why about fearing the Lord. If you look at verses 13 and 14, you will see that verses 13 and 14 say, this is how you fear the Lord. No lying. Do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And why should we fear the Lord? Well, because God is attentive to the righteous, but against those who do evil. That whole passage is actually quoted in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. So if you can't find it in Psalm 34, you can find it right at the end of the Bible. It's not right at the end, but nearly at the end, 1 Peter 3. So, moving on after that interlude about how we fear God and why we should fear God, we get to the options that are laid out before us at the end of the psalm. At the end of the psalm, verses 19 to 22, there are effectively two options. We can choose God for complete cover, or we can choose evil for certain condemnation. Complete cover, yes, when you look at it, verse 19 says, a righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from his all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. How's that for complete cover? Not a bruise on your body, not a single bone broken. Complete cover. Choose God for complete cover. And there's no middle path, because if you don't choose that complete cover from God, evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. And we're back to the good news right at the end. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Well, it's time for you to do just a little bit of work now. What I would like you to do is take the pencil that you have been given, and I want you to just pick the one verse from Psalm 34 that strikes you. Just no cheating, no choosing two or three verses. Just, and it may be a different verse next time you read it, that's fine. Just look through Psalm 34 and just gently underline. You have permission, my permission to write in the church Bibles, just to gently underline in pencil the one verse that strikes you today. If you really can't bring yourself to underline a verse, just put a little dot beside your chosen verse or something like that. And you have mostly got pencils with rubbers, so you can always rub it out afterwards. But just take a few moments to think, which verse really has hit me this morning? One verse each. There are no right and wrong answers. It's what God is saying to each one of us for this morning. But it may be that in years to come, months to come, somebody will take a church Bible and will open it and will see that there is a verse underlined in Psalm 34, and they may say to somebody next to them, hey, look, somebody's underlined this verse in Psalm 34. Have they done it in yours? And they can look at the next. And before you know, you've got a whole conversation going, and it'll become a race to find which verse has not been underlined in a church Bible. And I suspect that if you ask and look at what the person next to you or around you has underlined, it's probably not the same one that you have underlined. So there we are. In future, our brothers and sisters who look and discover these things can say, oh, look, between us, we've got virtually the whole psalm underlined, and we're back to that limerick. A keen Bible student from Wheatley underlined each important verse neatly, but the Bible he found was so deep and profound that he'd soon underlined it completely.
Thank you so much, Peter. There's a lot there for us to take away. We're going to turn to prayer now. Carol's going to come and lead us in our intercessions.
Let us pray. I want to start by praying for Terry English and his family. They are a missionary family linked to our church, working in the Czech Republic and in Ukraine. And some of you men, at least, will have seen them yesterday at the men's breakfast, and there's some cards with a picture of them. Lord, we pray for Terry in his role as missioner in Eastern Europe. We ask for safety for him as he travels long distances, and for comfort and protection for his family during his absences. As he requests, we pray for wisdom and guidance for Terry to get the work-life balance right. With so many demands on his time, Lord, help him to find time to rest and relax, and for good times together with his family. Lord, in your mercy. Yeah. And Lord, we thank you that the churches in the lands surrounding Ukraine are reaching out in love to Ukrainians, are sending practical support and helping refugees. Lord, we pray for the vehicles taking practical help, that they will be able to get across the borders, that you will grant them safety in dangerous areas. And we pray for the Ukrainian church, especially the pastors. Give them strength and courage as they minister to their large congregations. And bless and guide those who are seeking the best way forward to support these people. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray too for our own country, for our new Prime Minister and his cabinet, and for all MPs. Lord, in this time of crisis, please grant them wisdom, guidance, and understanding as they seek to lead our country. And we pray for all those in our land who are fearful of what the next few months will bring, who are fearful of lack of money, how to heat their homes, etc. Lord, we pray for all who are seeking to help, and we pray that you'll guide us here in our church here as to what we should be doing, and make us all sensitive to the needs of others, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. And on this All Saints Day, Lord, let's have a pause for a moment, and as we think of those who've been important to us in our Christian lives individually, and as you remember those people, thank God for them. Lord, we do thank you for those who've been important in our Christian journey. We give thanks and praise for them. And we ask that perhaps you will use us to help others along that road. Lord, in your mercy. Yeah. Today is also Bible Sunday. So, Father, we give you thanks and praise for our Bibles. Many of us will remember the huge number of new translations and versions that have become available in our lifetime. Lord, we thank you for that, and for all who have worked hard to give us accessible, accurate translations of your word. May we always value and appreciate this. Lord, in your mercy. And so we pray also for people in other lands who have to read your word in languages they're not very familiar with. And we pray that even so, you'll grant them understanding. And we thank you, Father, for all those giving years of their lives to translate the Bible into new languages. Grant them perseverance when it is difficult and slow, inspiration and guidance to choose the best words so that that will be clearly understood. And we ask too for your blessing on the logistics of printing these new Bibles, and for transporting them over inhospitable terrain. Lord, may your word be spread increasingly across this world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we also think about the Bible in our land, and we give thanks that Bible stories can be taught in our schools. And we thank you for the Open Book organization, and for all the team members who present Bible stories in an entertaining way in school assemblies. We pray that the children will remember these stories and gradually understand what they teach and be drawn to know you, Lord. We give particular thanks for the number of children in Malvern who already have opened the book visits. And as more opportunities arise, please guide the team leaders as to how these new opportunities can be met. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we pray for ourselves, for any we know who are ill. We bring our fears and worries to you, knowing that we can trust you. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So let us stand to share the peace together. We are fellow citizens with the saints through Christ our Lord, who came and preached peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's turn to one another and share a sign of peace. Peace be with you. Our communion hymn from Psalm 34, through all the changing scenes of life. Please be seated for the communion prayer. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Almighty God, good Father to us all, your face is turned towards your world. In love you gave us Jesus, your Son, to rescue us from sin and death. Your word goes out to call us home to the city where angels sing your praise. We join with them in heaven's song. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Father of all, we give you thanks for every gift that comes from heaven. To the darkness, Jesus came as your light. With signs of faith and words of hope, he touched untouchables with love and washed the guilty clean. This is his story. This is our song. Hosanna in the highest. The crowds came out to see your son, yet at the end they turned on him. On the night he was betrayed, he came to supper with his friends to celebrate the freedom of your people. Jesus blessed you, Father, for the food. He took bread, gave thanks and broke it and said, "This is my body given for you all." Jesus gave thanks for the wine. He took the cup and gave it and said, "This is my blood shed for you all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and with this cup, we celebrate the cross on which he died to set us free. Defying death, he rose again and is alive with you to plead for us and all the world. Send your spirit on us now, that by these gifts we may feed on Christ with opened eyes and hearts on fire. May we and all who share this food offer ourselves to live for you and be welcomed at your feast in heaven, where all creation worships you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. I wonder, Peter, if you could join me in giving communion. Together we pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Our closing hymn looks forward to the time when Christ will return to gather all the saints to reign with him over the new creation. I cannot tell. Let's stand to sing. Heavenly Father, please will you accept these gifts as a token of our love for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please sit for the blessing. Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.